last Sunday, the sermon that I gave was While You Wait, God Works. And the second part of the series today is When You Hurt, God Heals. Right? When you hurt, God heals. And the main text is Psalm 147, verse 3. Psalm 147, verse 3. And this is the Word of God. You know, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Yeah. In this broken world, there's pain and hurt from so many things. There's pain and hurt from rejection, from abuse, from abandonment, from betrayal, from neglect, and you know, when we experience loss, there's pain and hurt. And we know, you know, in Catalyst, the enemy uses the pain and hurt to attack us, to continue to attack us. And if we allow or agree with the enemy when we are going through pain and hurt, the enemy will bring greater brokenness into our life. It will become a bondage and a stronghold in our heart. And from this stronghold, the enemy will steal, lie, and destroy. That's why, you know, I want to give this message. We all have pain and hurt in our heart. We want to reject what the enemy wants to do and come to the Lord. This is the reason we need to turn to the Lord with our pain, with our hurt. Because the Bible says God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. When we come to God with our broken heart, when we come to God with our wounds, our pain, and our hurt, this is what the Bible says. God heals. Okay? God heals. There, you know, rejection is very difficult. We don't know what to do with it. You know, when we go through loss, you know, when we've been abused, there's abandonment, betrayal, and neglect. What happens is we feel rejected. We feel rejected. And that's not God's plan for relationship. Rejection is not God's plan for relationship. We see in the Bible, Adam and Eve, before the fall, the Bible says they were both naked and they felt no shame. They felt no shame. And so what the Bible is saying in relationship, Adam and Eve, there was openness, there was nothing to hide, there was vulnerability. And so the original plan of God for relationship was that they were supposed to practice love. There was supposed to be a connection in relationship. There was supposed to be intimacy, freedom. In relationship, there was no pressure to perform, but you could be yourself. There was trust. There's oneness. There's partnership. And there's power. And there's this synergy in God's original plan for relationship. But we know what happens in the book of Genesis, and then Adam and Eve sinned. And brokenness came into the world. And when brokenness came into their heart, they felt shame, they felt rejected. And for the first time, they felt fear, hurt, pain in their heart. What were they feeling? They were feeling rejection. That's what they were feeling. They were feeling rejection. So instead of going to the Lord in their sin, brokenness, shame, and rejection, Adam and what did the Bible say they did? Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the devil. They ran away and hid from the Lord. They covered their shame with fig leaves. Why did they run, hide, and cover themselves? Well, it's because they felt rejected. What do I mean by that? They felt unworthy of connection. Right? That's what rejection does to us. When you feel rejected, people run away from relationship. Right? People run away from relationship. because rejection makes you feel unworthy of love, unworthy of belonging, unworthy of relationship. See, that's the enemy's plan. Use rejection to keep you away from deep relationships. But God's plan is different. Okay? God's plan, what do we see in the gospel? His son was rejected. Okay? His own son was rejected. And his son took all the rejection and paid the penalty so that there could be forgiveness and redemption and reconciliation and new life. What does that mean? So that God could heal you. There's rejection, but then there's also fear. Okay? There's also fear that the enemy uses to prevent healing. Fear makes people start to focus on the devil, you know, and take our eyes away from God. So fear, when we are hurting, when we feel rejected, when we are in pain, make us not look at God, but look at what the devil's doing. Some people who are most fearful, they see demons everywhere. They falsely believe demons have greater influence, you know, than God. You know, I have met people who see demons everywhere. We need to be careful about people like that who sees demons everywhere. And when you look at their life, because of fear, they see demon working in their life. What happens? Their relationships are broken. What I tell them is, you know, if you see demon more than God, you know, I have to remind them. The Lord is the one who's everywhere, not the devil. The Lord is infinitely more powerful than demons. You know, there are times when I did deliverance ministry in other countries and even in America, a person will start to manifest demonic spirit while I was ministering to them. And what I would do, I would stop and I would forbid the demon from manifesting. And then I'll talk to the person. And I ask the person if he is a Christian, okay? And if he says no, then I'll share the gospel with him or her. If he says or she says, yes, I am a Christian, then I just remind them, you know, that Jesus lives in you. Jesus has overcome the evil spirit in you. You have authority over the demon. You know why? Because of Jesus, because you're a Christian. And I will speak that truth over this person who's manifesting demonic spirit. And immediately the manifestation will stop. And there were times the people that I ministered to will come back and they will say they were completely set free from demonic manifestation afterwards. Fear gives the demons power over our life. Fear prevents us from being able to love the way God wants us to love. Fear takes away faith. Fear prevents blessing of God to flow in our life. Fear makes people go away from grace, forgiveness, comfort, you know, forgiveness and relationship, healing and freedom. When fearful, people tend to fight, go toward anger, harshness, domination, control, and manipulation. Fear prevents healing because fear makes you fight the wrong battle. It makes us fight one another instead of the spiritual battle. You know, God wants to heal broken relationship, but fear prevents healing. Fear prevents people from seeking healing. Rather, fear makes people suppress and hide their brokenness. And as the fear grows, fear causes people to blame, causes them to isolate themselves, push others away, and hurt others. Fear prevents healing. And so I want to challenge you. You know, let's lift off all the fear so that God could bring healing. There's a third thing that I want to talk about, bitterness. And you know, I talk about this all the time. What is bitterness. And this is my opinion. Bitterness, you know, in this broken world, what's going to happen in our heart, there's going to be brokenness, there's going to be rejection, there's pain, hurt, there's fear that's developed inside of us because of the, you know, brokenness in people, brokenness in us, brokenness in the world. But when you don't seek healing, we keep all that inside, okay? And we keep that all that inside. We choose to keep it. The bitterness is choosing to keep everything inside. And when we choose to keep it inside, that's when it becomes sin. That's bitterness, okay? Bitterness is sin. You know, bitterness is keeping all the brokenness, the rejection, the pain, the hurt inside of our heart, and we choose to keep it inside. When you have pain from rejection, you have not sinned when you have pain from rejection, because Jesus was rejected, and he had emotion. In the Bible, somebody told me there's like 40 different emotions that Jesus expressed in the gospel, right? And Jesus felt pain when he was rejected, but Jesus did not hold on to the rejection. Jesus did not hold on to the pain. But what did he do? He forgave and he released it. Okay, he released it. Bitterness is choosing not to forgive. Okay, instead choosing to hold on to it. All right? What is bitterness? Instead of God being the true judge, those who are bitter is choosing to be the judge, the jury, the jailer, and the executioner. That's what bitterness does. The unforgiving, in Matthew 18, the Bible talks about this unforgiving servant. Another way I will characterize this servant, not unforgiving servant, I will call him the bitter servant. Because that's what bitterness is, unforgiving. Right? The bitter servant who couldn't forgive a fellow servant. Right? And the Bible says the master saw that and was very angry with the servant who couldn't forgive. And he called him wicked. You are a wicked servant. Meaning the servant's unforgiveness, the bitterness, is sin. It's sin. The Bible says this servant was tortured. And Hebrews 12:5 says, when you hold on to bitterness, it will cause trouble and defile many. What is causing trouble in our life? What's defiling many around us? It's not just because somebody hurt us. It's holding on to the hurt. It's holding on to the rejection. It's holding on to the pain. That's hurting us and defiling many. Bitterness is not dealing with the pain, is making the pain much worse. You know, I give this illustration: when you have a splinter, you know, in your arm, bitterness is saying, "I don't want to deal with that splinter. I don't want to deal with that pain." What bitterness is, instead, you're pushing the splinter deeper in, not cleaning it, and instead letting it get infected, instead of seeking healing. But here's the good news. For those who are hurting and in pain, that's you and I. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. Luke chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. I want everyone to turn their Bible, you know, to Luke chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. And as a lot of you have NIV version, but I'm reading the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. It says, when the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it. And the bearer stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, I want to use this passage to release ministry over our pain and our hurt and rejection. You know, you have pain, hurt, feeling of rejection, and fear in your heart. And again, the enemy uses that pain to bring greater brokenness, use brokenness to bring bondage, and use bondage to bring destruction and more pain and more hurt. The Bible says, Jesus heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. When you are hurting, God heals. Okay? I want you to speak that out. When I am hurting, God heals me. Make it personal. When I am hurting, God heals me. In this passage in Luke chapter 7, there was a funeral procession, you know, procession. And a widow, the Bible says a widow, you know, was her only son. She's a widow, so she lost her husband. Now she lost her only son. The widow was in unbearable pain. I can't imagine, right? Losing a husband and losing her only son. She was in this unbearable pain. But verse 13, what the Bible says is, the Lord saw her. The Lord saw her. And I want you to, over your pain and your hurt, speak that out. The Lord sees me. Okay? Say that. The Lord sees me. See, when you are in pain, you feel all alone in your pain. With all, you know, can you, even with all the people in the funeral procession, you know, in her pain, she probably felt all alone and questioned if people around her really cared. Probably felt that no one understood. No one knows what I'm going through. But here the Bible says the Lord saw her. Jesus didn't just see her, but noticed her, but even deeper, knew her. That's what I believe it means, knew her. Because Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was abandoned. He was betrayed. He went through loss. Can you imagine? There was a time in the gospel, hundreds of disciples that used to follow him left him at a moment. In a moment, because they didn't like what he taught. He was abused. And what the gospel message says is that on the cross, every sin, not just his disciples' sin, every sin, not just the people that listened to him preach, every sin, every rejection, every loss, every regret, every brokenness, every evil, every pain and hurt was put on him, was put on Jesus. And Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. So there's no one in the world that could say, God does not understand. God does not know. God does not see me. Jesus knows what you are going through. He understands. And I want to speak to those who are in pain. God notices you. He sees you. You're not forgotten. You're not alone. He knows you. And what second thing in this passage, it says the Lord saw her and his heart overflowed with compassion. His heart overflowed with compassion. It doesn't mean that he only felt what you're going through, or it doesn't mean he noticed you. His heart flowed with compassion. There was this compassion from his gut inside, overflowing, coming out. Right? This is a deep, deep compassion. And the way I describe this is so that you understand this compassion that God has for you when you are in pain, when you are hurt. Right? Like, you know, you're driving on a highway and you see up ahead a bad car accident on the highway. And everybody's slowing down and you slow down. And when I, in that kind of situation, I feel really bad. I feel concerned. And I just, you know, say in my heart, I hope everyone's okay. But say as you pass, you see that it was one of your family members' car. It was one of your family members' car. What would you feel at that time? That's what it's describing right here. His heart overflow with compassion. Overflow with compassion. It's not just he felt bad or he felt concerned. Jesus stopped for the widow. He stopped for the widow. The compassion is not just as a stranger, but as a friend, as a family member, as your creator, as your Lord and Savior. And I want to speak to those who are in pain. God's heart overflows with compassion for you. As a friend, as a father who loves his child, as your Lord, and as your Messiah. And there's another, there's 3 points. I just wanted to mention that I was inspired by Craig Rochelle, one of his sermons. And he says, this is, it touched me. In this passage, that he walked over to the coffin and touched it. He walked over to the coffin and touched it. And at that time, the coffin is not the way we see it in America. It was most likely a cart with the body, you know, exposed, wrapped in linen. That was the coffin, you know, back then. And it says, so what the Bible is saying, Jesus touched the widow's son who was dead. Jesus touched the widow's son who was dead. Now you got to understand the context of that, because the religious people around him and in Israel and in Jerusalem, you were not supposed to touch a dead body or anything that the dead body touched. You're not supposed to touch it. Why? If you do, you are considered unclean. They'll say you are unclean. But the beauty of this passage is this. Jesus didn't care. Everybody else cared. You know, that's why I believe, you know, everybody would stand away from the cart. You know, they had a cart because nobody could once carry the body. Jesus didn't care. He touched it. Now here's the thing. Our pain, our hurt, our rejection, our shame, our fear, others don't want to touch it. Our rejection, abandonment, abuse, betrayal, neglect, our loss. You know, you feel it is untouchable, maybe even unclean. You feel unclean because of it, maybe. But this is, you know, the gospel message. Jesus Jesus doesn't care if it is considered unclean or clean. Jesus wants to cross that barrier. Jesus wants to cross what separates you from him. He wants to cross the barrier of pain. And Laura wants to heal your pain. Okay, let's pray. Give your pain to the Lord and speak this truth. The Lord sees me. The Lord sees my pain. He noticed my pain. He knows what I'm going through. He understands. Speak that up. Speak that up about your pain. Speak this truth. and about your pain and hurt and rejection and the fear, you know, the abandonment, the neglect, the abuse, even the loss. Lord Jesus, his heart overflows with compassion. Speak that truth over your pain. God has overflowing compassion for me in that pain. Meaning, Jesus stops for me. He will not pass me by. I am not alone. He is with me. And your pain, you know, some of you, like a lot of us, we all do this, okay? We all do this. It's just too much. It's too much. Too much. Too painful. Too much barrier. It's been too long. It's too complicated, you know. The Bible says, then he walked over to the coffin and touched it. It's too unclean. Jesus don't care how long it's been, how complicated, how deep the pain, how hurt or how much pain. And I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit, Jesus, Lord Jesus, touch it and heal it. Heal our pain and hurt, Lord. Okay. Oh. When we are hurt, God heals. I choose to forgive instead of being bitter because I want God's healing. I reject the enemy's work in my life using my pain, my hurt, to steal and destroy and lie to me. Instead, I choose Jesus. I come to him. I forgive. I come to Jesus. When I'm in pain, God heals me. Heal your people, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. This is part of personal revival, personal spiritual revival. He's not asking you to go to Africa for a personal revival. He's not asking you, you know, to do something like that, but he's just asking you, let the Lord heal you. Let him heal. That's the step toward revival. Heal. Let go of the bitterness. Forgive. Then we're turning away from what the enemy is doing and going toward God. And God, now we open up our heart. Minister to us and heal us, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.